broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, guys, I've been a little out of the news here this weekend. Now, don't tell me that Iran just attacked Israel over the weekend. Unprecedented attack against the people of Israel and really against the Western world is how it really should be framed here. But don't tell me that happened, because Joe Biden said don't. Joe Biden told Iran don't. That is the Biden doctrine, right? Don't. Now, I've been a little out of the news this weekend because had an incredible trip down to Las Vegas for UFC 300. What an incredible experience. What an incredible crew that we got to be down there with. But, wasn't paying attention to too much of the news. But, of course, how can you miss this massive news? Obviously, incredible response from our friends in Israel and from the U.S. military. Of course, still making this basically a failed attack by Iran. But nonetheless, with the weakness of the Biden administration's foreign policy, they will attack and they will attack again and they will try again. Because for some reason, the Biden doctrine of don't, apparently that don't work, apparently, as this administration, when I say this administration, you can throw liberal Senator John Tester right in there, has us hell-bent on going right down the path of World War III. Did you see some of the videos over the weekend of these so-called peace activists, these so-called anti-war activists? They're not peace protesters. They're not anti-war activists. They're just against you responding. They're against us responding. They're against Israel responding. They're against us defending ourselves. So whenever we want to be able to defend ourselves, or whenever our friends want to defend themselves from these terrorists in Tehran or anywhere else for that matter, they'll say, oh, well, we're anti-war. Enough war. Stop war. Stop war. But they don't chant that when the other side. No, instead, they actually cheer the other side. I just shared a couple of things via X.com earlier this morning. Did you guys see this in Chicago? I can play some of the audio for you here in a second. But in Chicago, you've had these so-called Palestinian peace, anti-war protesters cheering war, cheering an attack on the people of Israel. They were literally cheering that. And then there's another video that I shared. This took place in a Teamsters union facility, apparently, in Chicago. Those of you who are Teamsters union members, wow, is that what your union dues are going towards? Hosting Death to America chants? Hosting Death to Israel chants? Is that why you go to work day in and day out? To send them your union dues so that then your union facility can be used by their left-wing buddies who are instructing their left-wing activists on how to chant death to America and death to Israel in Farsi? Is that what you're paying your Teamsters union dues for? Anyway, lots to talk about here on this Monday morning. Back right after this. A ton of different topics we can cover here this morning. And big thanks to David Noble for covering Friday as well.
Securing America.
Today, the 128th Boston Marathon will be run in Massachusetts. The event forever scarred by the bombing in 2013, which killed three and injured hundreds. The marathon requires extensive collaboration between multiple agencies to keep it safe. Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency Director Dawn Brantley.
When it comes to the Boston Marathon, we are one team with one mission, a safe and successful race day for everyone.
The FBI admits terrorism threats in the country are at an all-time high following the start of the war in the Middle East. But Special Agent in Charge Jody Cohen says,
our most immediate concern are homegrown violent extremists or lone actors.
Thankfully, she adds,
at this point in time, the FBI is not aware of any specific or credible threats targeting this year's marathon.
Boston Mayor Michelle Wu says, in addition to the race itself,
safety is always paramount.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll stay with mostly cloudy skies today, along with some scattered showers and a few storms around the area as well. High temperatures range from around 60 in Bozeman to 70 in the Billings area. For tonight, scattered shower chances, especially early, then partly cloudy skies, lows from the mid-30s in Bozeman to the mid-40s in Billings, and then on Tuesday, some afternoon showers are possible. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Fromm.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, I just got a postcard from Jim in Billings with the postcard is this: Last Stand Hill Battlefield. It's a postcard from a little Bighorn battlefield, and it's got a photo, of course, of General Custer's grave marker there, and then I think Jim wrote a little text box above that, you know, the little quote box above it, and it says, "Don't." I'll have to see if I can send that out via Twitter. I'll try to remove Jim's mailing address from it, though, before I share that one. But, yeah, Jim, thanks for that. Anti-war activists in Chicago learn to chant "Death to Israel" and "Death to America" in Farsi. That's from an account via X called The FP, The Free Press. But let me first get you this one here. Peace activists in Chicago cheer on the Iranian attack against Israel. Video shows as Chicago activists cheer after learning about Iran's attack on Israel. Here is the video. This is from Fox. That was a headline from FoxNews.com that I just shared with you. And then here's the audio.
I just have to report something to everyone. And so it begins, so to speak. 12 days ago, Israel brazenly hit an Iranian embassy compound in Syria, violating international law again. And Iran has just responded about 30 minutes ago.
These are people living on American soil in a major American city, Chicago, cheering on an attack from the terrorist nation of Iran right now. That's now, of course, the attack by and large failed. It was repelled by Israel and by the U.S. military. But yet, nonetheless, they will attack again because of this policy of appeasement coming from Biden, Tester, and the rest of the Western world. And by the way, Biden and Tester have basically funded all of these attacks. You should know this. They've funded these attacks because they were the ones that did away with the sanctions against Tehran. And even Biden's Secretary of State admitted on the Sunday talk shows over the weekend that Iran is basically funding terror all over the world. Yeah, well, you guys are the ones who funded them. But here you have video showing these Chicago activists cheering after learning that that Iran was attacking Israel. And then separately, I saw this Andy Ngo shared video at a leftist training event at the Teamsters Union headquarters in Chicago. A Palestinian nationalist extremist teaches the attendees how to chant "Death to America" and "Death to Israel" in Farsi. Here you go. Here again is the audio.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever. All right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, "Marg bar.
Marg
bar. Marg bar Israel.
Listen to these cultists with their terrorist chant. And if you look at the video of them, you can see these, you know, uppity white liberals with their little face masks on and more. And then they go on.
It has two meanings, depending on the case. It can mean death to or down with. So we can get a mind bar America.
So it wasn't just enough for them to chant death to Israel in Chicago at a Teamsters union location. They had to add, can we get a death to America on top of that, too? And they threw in a death to America on top of that. These people are openly chanting death to America and death to Israel on American soil. And that's the people who are already in this country. Imagine who else they're allowing in with this open borders invasion that Joe Biden and John Tester have allowed and have encouraged. They are the ones who released all this funding to allow for this terror regime in Tehran to push these terrorist attacks all over the world. And now these leftists on American soil are chanting death to America and death to Israel right here in our own land, in our own borders, on our own soil. And who else are they allowing into this country at the same time right now? Let's see. There was a great response to this FP video as well. Jason Curtis Anderson at our New York City, it looks like he says this: anti-war is really just the more palatable title for the PR arm of these anarchist groups. They can form a 501c3 as an anti-war nonprofit, raise money, build a brand, influence public opinion. They can't do that if they self-identify as an anarchist group. Yeah, basically, these people call themselves anti-war activists, peace protesters. Oh, no. They're openly cheering war. They just don't want you to be able to respond. They don't want you to be able to defend yourself. No different than the very leftists who take, you know, people who commit crimes with weapons and who have weapons charges against them. They will put them back out on the streets all across America. But yet they want to take away your guns. See, they just don't want you to be able to defend yourself. They don't want you. They don't want America to defend herself. They don't want Israel to defend herself. They don't want a single white female or any other female or any other American out there to be able to defend yourself. They want to take away your guns, but then put people with weapons charges against them, violent criminals, right back out on the streets of America. This is the Joe Biden, John Tester America, folks.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. What political purpose did Senate conservatives score by persuading House Speaker Mike Johnson to delay sending articles of impeachment for Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate for trial? The decision by Johnson to bow at a moment's notice to Senate conservatives who asked for a delay, notably going over the head of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, demonstrates three things. First, Senate conservatives were late to the table to push this. They knew the start of the trial since late March. Secondly, this reflects that Mitch McConnell is losing ground to conservatives in his conference. That trend has been ongoing for some time now. It's why McConnell even declared he could read the room politically when he announced over the winter he would step aside as Republican leader. Finally, this episode also underscores concerns some Republicans have about Mike Johnson. They doubt he's truly in charge, even if they agree with the ultimate decision. Thus, Republicans score a few more days to talk about the impeachment of Mayorkas and how the Senate is likely to short-circuit the trial. This earns a few more news cycles. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northblind. Last week, USDA released the April World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates Report. In their filing, USDA did come out with a larger feed and residual reduction for wheat than was expected. It dropped by 30 million bushels to 90 million bushels. Wheat imports were also raised by 5 million bushels, leading to a 25 million bushel increase in ending stocks to 698 million bushels, while U.S. exports of wheat was unchanged. But the most notable changes in the report seem to be on the export front. USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jekanowski.
Exports from both Russia and Ukraine up, partially offset by lower exports out of the EU, which were reduced by 2 million tons. Ukraine exports continue, wheat exports continue strong. We raised Ukraine's exports this month by 1.5 million tons to 17.5 million. Global stocks tightening up just a bit again this month, and still, if realized, these would be the lowest global ending stocks since 2015-16.
Again, the Russian bear creating a bearish market here in the United States as they continue to provide a very cheap wheat staple to the world market. Here in the United States, the season average farm price was lowered by a nickel last week to $7.10 a bushel for the marketing year. You're listening to the Western Ag Network. Less time on paperwork and more time on the things that truly drive your operation. Herdwatch allows producers to easily direct day-to-day management from the palm of their hand. Offering solutions for cattle operations large and small, Herdwatch simplifies record keeping and gives you data-backed metrics so profitability is at the forefront of every decision. Easily track calving, weaning, animal health, and access that information anytime, anywhere. Visit Herdwatch.com for a special offer on your first 6 months. Herdwatch. Simplifying farming.
Energy costs in Montana have nearly doubled in the past 4 years. Hi, this is Randy Brown with Pure Light Power. Don't be at the mercy of a utility company when you can go solar and own your own power. Pure Light is a local company that sources, designs, and installs solar energy systems, even for farms and ranches. To set up a no-cost, no-obligation consultation to see if you qualify for zero down and up to a $35,000 tax credit, call me at 406-694-4949. That's 406-694-4949.
Well, three more dairy herds in three additional Michigan counties have tested positive for highly pathogenic avian influenza, according to state officials and USDA's National Veterinary Service Laboratory. As we reported last week, avian influenza was confirmed in dairy herds in North Carolina and South Carolina, bringing the total to 8 states. The latest Michigan confirmations bring the total to 27 farms where a dairy herd contracted H5N1. Avian influenza. To keep track of which states are positive for avian flu, just visit westernagnetwork.com. In pork news, a national traceability plan for the pork industry is being developed by a producer-led task force in collaboration with the USDA. The plan involves keeping records of all pig movements with the data accessible in case of need, such as during a foreign animal disease outbreak. The National Pork Producers Council is emphasizing the importance of quickly identifying movements to contain outbreaks if they do happen, highlighting that traceability aids in resuming exports and business operations swiftly after a possible outbreak, benefiting producers of all sizes. Earlier this year, the National Pork Producers Council delegates approved an enhanced swine traceability resolution during the National Pork Industry Forum. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Northline.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. There was a great... Oh, yeah, here it is. This really summed things up well. I didn't get a chance to watch the full video. I'm trying to get in as much show prep as possible here this morning. But just the headline alone here, I think, is spot on. Apparently, Caroline Leavitt was on Fox News over the weekend. In the lower third graphic, you can see here, Trump, Iran's attack would not have happened if I was the president. But the point that Caroline Leavitt made here, which is completely spot on. I mean, look at the news that happened over the weekend, and then look at the news that's being teed up here this morning. If you've been listening to some of the national news updates here, the big news over the weekend is, once again, Tehran using the money that Joe Biden and John Tester freed up for them to launch more terrorist attacks. And they just launched an attack against Israel over the weekend, an unprecedented attack against the Israeli homeland. But of course, great job by the Israeli defense forces, by the Israeli government at repelling that attack, and the U.S. military as well, of course. But Biden, this is the point that Caroline Leavitt made. Biden is focused on prosecuting Trump while the world is at war. And that's the big story. That's the other big national news story today, is that one of the trials against Donald J. Trump is kind of getting, the scene is getting set for that this morning in New York City, as they are searching for jurors to be on that jury pool. Anyway, well, what's the latest? I might be double tapping the Fox News update here in a second, but here's the latest on one of these political persecution witch hunts against Donald Trump. It is the people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump. There will be 12 jurors eventually and 6 alternates who will sit in judgment of the former president. This is how the jury selection is going to work. 100 people at a time will be called into the courtroom, and Judge Juan Merchan will explain the case to them and ask if any prospective juror does not think they can be fair and impartial. For those folks who raise their hands and cannot, well, they'll be excused. And of the remaining people, they'll be seated in the jury box in small groups and given the 42-question questionnaire before each one is questioned individually by a prosecutor and a defense lawyer.
What a joke. I had heard on Fox and Friends earlier this morning that one of the things that this anti-Trump judge, whose daughter makes millions of dollars off of Democrats, including John Tester, with their consulting firm, one of the things I heard is that one of the questions he's asking the jurors is, which news sources do you listen to? So pretty obvious, like, they're going to be like, man, if you dare even mention that you listen to any real news sources, you're booted, you're out of here. But if you listen to all the fake news sources, if you're all fake news all the time, New York Times, NPR, Washington Post, you pick your other three-letter acronyms, you're on the witch hunt trials of New York City. Ding, ding, ding. You're the big winner. But meanwhile, yeah, they prosecute Trump while they get the rest of the world into war.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Jury selection starts today for the people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump. He's accused of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments before the 2016 election.
100 people at a time will be called into the courtroom, and Judge Juan Merchan will explain the case to them and ask if any prospective juror does not think they can be fair and impartial. And of the remaining people, they'll be given the 42-question questionnaire before each one is questioned individually by a prosecutor and a defense lawyer.
Fox's Eric Sean. Rust movie set armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed is sentenced today.
Gutierrez-Reed was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the fatal onset shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. The fourth degree felony carries a maximum penalty of 18 months incarceration.
Fox's Michelle Pollino. Actor Alec Baldwin fired the gun. His manslaughter trial is scheduled to start in July. He was also a producer on the movie. America's listening to Fox News.
Oh, dang it. I double-tapped that story. I never know which stories they're going to use at which time. It's always, you know, so oftentimes they'll do live updates there. And so there we go. You heard that same story twice. But that's all right. Here's one you did not hear yet. President Trump, while leftists in Chicago were cheering the Iranian attack against Israel and chanting death to America, death to Israel once again, as Joe Biden continues to cater to the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party, here was President Donald J. Trump.
When the news broke of these attacks on Israel, former President Donald Trump was on the ground in the very important swing state of Pennsylvania, and he came out strong with remarks to that large crowd of people there in Schnecksville, telling them the United States must stand by Israel, and says this would have never happened if he was in the White House.
The weakness that we've shown is unbelievable, and it would not have happened if we were in office. You know that. They know that. Everybody knows that. But America prays for Israel.
Trump, who is the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee, saying that Biden could get the country into a world war, as voters at this event were all listening closely to see what the former president had to say. But they told me the United States just simply appears weak on the world stage right now.
All right. Meanwhile, yeah, it was Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana who was on Fox News Sunday yesterday saying that Joe Biden continues to be influenced by the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party.
I love Israel. I despise Putin. I despise the Communist Party of China. And I despise the Ayatollah in Iran. I don't want America to be the world's policeman, but I don't want those guys to be the world's policeman either. And with those guys, if you turn the other cheek, you just get it in the neck. More sheep is not going to solve the wolf problem. I expect, I don't know, but I expect the Speaker of the House probably next week to put an Israel bill, Israel support bill on the floor of the House. I think it'll be followed by a bill to support Taiwan in the Indo-Pacific. And number three, I think he will put a bill to support Ukraine. Now, I think his bill is going to make the money a loan. I think it will require Ukraine to pay it back. I think we will seize some Russian assets to pay for it. I think the bill will be limited to military aid, not humanitarian aid. And I think there will be some strong encouragement to make Europe, which is vastly more wealthy than Russia, to do a better job of putting its money where its mouth is. And I think the bill will pass. It'll come back to the Senate. And unfortunately, I predict that if it comes back to the Senate, the big issue on those bills will not be Ukraine. The big issue will be Israel, because it is clear that President Biden is being influenced by the Hamas wing of the Democratic Party.
And so is John Tester. They're both playing both sides while they continue to get us down a path to world war, basically.
State of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have the phone lines open for you on this Monday morning as well. 406-294-0970. And then a busy lineup a little bit later in the morning. Always want to clear up some open phones time if we can. But, of course, after being out Friday, we've got a lot that's stacked up in the meantime. Let's see. And then I think we've got some messages that came in on our Montana Talks app here as well. Let me get to a few of those here. Let's see. I'll see if I can catch up on the app messages. A little behind catching up after, big weekend going down to UFC 300. If any of you guys missed it, man, the best highlight of the entire night from the fight itself was the last second knockout. Max Holloway with a last second knockout. Here's some of the audio from the UFC YouTube page.
Nice jab to the body by Max. Yep. Another hard low kick. Now it's forced him to change stances. That left leg is destroyed. Finally, in minute 25, Holloway shows some mortality. Look at this. Holloway just turned him. See him right here.
Yeah, 1 second to go. It was absolutely crazy. They had already been going on for multiple rounds back and forth. And then just with like 3 seconds to go, Holloway just spins around and then whack, just connects with him. And then he just almost rolls over as he hits the ground with that knockout. It was insane. I mean, the whole crowd was on their feet just for several minutes. I mean, everybody was just stunned at what they just saw. The crowd, though, I mean, it was insane how electric that crowd is, being inside the crowd, inside the audience, in the crowd for a UFC fight. It's the first time I'd ever been actually in attendance at a UFC fight. I've gotten to go to the some of the Fusion Fight League events here in Montana, which are absolutely incredible as well. But, man, I wish the audio and the sound could actually capture how powerful the crowd reactions are. It was inside the T-Mobile Arena down in Las Vegas, same arena where the Las Vegas Knights hockey team plays, which is an incredible show too. But man, I mean, it was just crazy to get the instant crowd reactions. The way I was trying to describe it to people is, it's like, when you're out in the mountains and maybe you're out on an elk hunt or a deer hunt or something like that. Maybe you're posting up for a little while and you're just sitting listening. Or like when you're riding the chairlift up the ski hill and everything kind of goes quiet for a while. And you know how you can just hear, like, you can hear the wind move through the trees across the mountainside? That's what the crowd was like, where you would hear like maybe like a slow chant that started off you know, on the southeast side of the arena, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, I mean, then the whole crowd is just swaying back and forth. And then the immediate reactions. I mean, if you turned your head away from the fight for just a mere moment, and all of a sudden you would, you know, you would hear a crowd reaction and be like, oh, man, what did I just miss? And because it was like the crowd immediately knew, you know, just this initial reaction. You could just hear the gasp, this collective gasp of tens of thousands of people at the exact same time. So, yeah, pretty cool. Incredible opportunity. Big thanks to Anthem Snacks and the CEO, Nate Kahana, and his whole team. Brought a crew of us Montanans that were down there. I shared a bunch of photographs, some videos, and more. Really, it started kind of so Friday afternoon. Most of us got in either late Thursday night or Friday morning down to Vegas for the UFC 300 weekend. But really, you know, the action kind of started Friday afternoon. We got to tour the Performance Institute. So UFC has their own Performance Institute down in Las Vegas. They've now got one in Shanghai and in Mexico City as well for some other fighters elsewhere across the world. But this Performance Institute is basically like a two-floor training facility. Ground floor is diet, nutrition, performance. Anyway, later on in the 9 o'clock hour, you're gonna hear my conversation with the nutritionist who gave us a tour of the UFC Performance Institute facility down there. But it's really cool. Basically, like think of like the ground floor is kind of like. Is like all your health and performance and your diet and your nutrition area. And then you get upstairs on the second floor. That's where they do all the mixed martial arts training. So that's where all their octagons are at, their fight bags, their punching bags, their kickboxing training. Everything is all up on that second floor. But what was really cool is, I mean, we had like, you know, we had such an incredible crew that I got to tag along with. I kind of joked. I'm like, am I like the dorky younger brother that got to tag along with all the cool kids for this trip? Because, I mean, yeah, Nate Kahana, the founder and CEO of Anthem Snacks in Bozeman, they're the official jerky of UFC. And so that's how we all got in there. And so, but he's a Green Beret. Willie Blazer with Willie's Distillery, of course, was there. Willie's a Green Beret, just a badass American. And so many others that were there, Les Craig, Greg Putnam, of course, the Navy SEAL with Little Belt Cattle Company, who we talked with last week. And then, have you guys heard of Mountain Tough in Bozeman? So Mountain Tough, think of it. We're going to talk with Dustin from Mountain Tough later this morning as well. But, I mean, that guy's just a freaking beast. This guy grew up in Billings, Montana. And I think he said he had, like, what, six uncles or something like that growing up. So they were always taking him hunting. They were always taking him outdoors, always taking him fishing, you name it. And so what this guy wanted to do is create an app, create a gym basically focused on being mountain tough, being ready to go. If you're a backcountry, you know, hunter, sportsman, like, what do you got to do to be, like, totally fit to go hunting in the backcountry? And so he built this, you know, this program called Mountain Tough. And I've heard incredible things about it through like Brian Gilman, who's the CEO of Warriors and Quiet Waters in Bozeman, who's a big, backcountry hunter himself. And so, in fact, they've had a lot of the Warriors that go through Warriors and Quiet Waters now doing this Hunt for Purpose program that have been training at, you know, Mountain Tough, the facility. And so anyway, I mean, so we had guys like that who are touring this training facility and then looking at it not only from, you know, a physical training standpoint, but also from a diet and nutrition standpoint as well. So that was Friday afternoon, and then literally busted straight from there. And then I hopped in a taxi, trying to go to the T-Mobile Arena. But then they had the UFC weigh-ins, you know, where everybody gets weighed in, and you know the fighters go face to face before they actually fight in the octagon on Saturday night. So I got to go, you know, got a VIP ticket to go to the weigh-ins, the UFC weigh-ins on Friday afternoon at the MGM Grand Arena, and that was really cool. So I got some videos and photos from that as well. And then, of course, the UFC fight itself on Saturday night. But what just an incredible crew. In my write-up, I kind of joked. I sent a text message to my wife at about, I think it was like 6:15 Vegas time, Saturday night and about 7:15 Montana time. And so I sent a text message to my wife. I said, standing next to Chris Pratt right now, because we were down there with the Anthem Snacks crew, who's, you know, the official jerky of UFC, because we were down there with them. I mean, we got to go to all, you know, the VIP, you know, little get together. So we're at this little VIP party near one of the suites inside the T-Mobile Arena. And so there's Chris Pratt, just the actor Chris Pratt, just standing right there. And so, of course, you know, my kids, they're big fans of Chris Pratt and everything. And so I never went and bugged him. And then he didn't stay there too long. He was back down on the arena floor. But it was kind of funny. All of a sudden my daughter's texting me, oh, you know, we're all watching the fight, you know, because I told him that I was hanging out at the same place that Chris Pratt was at. But yeah, got to see some other cool Montana folks. Ran into Andy Stump, influential podcaster who now lives in the Flathead, Navy SEAL veteran. And then the guy himself behind the Montana Knife Company was up there too. So snapped a quick photo with him as well. Let's see. Yeah, go to MontanaTalks.com, or if you got the Montana Talks app, you'll see all of our coverage from inside the UFC's Las Vegas Performance Institute. And then, of course, this epic trip to UFC 300 with the Montana crew that I got to tag along with. Let's see. Coming up after this, what should we talk about next? We got some Montana-specific news. And, in fact, Montana Senate President Jason Ellsworth is going to join us later on in the 8 o'clock hour. So maybe I'll tell you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All the tens and $100 billion plus going to Ukraine, and we can't support Israel? Even just give them moral support, for crying out loud. They're fighting their own war. And they're now fighting a two-front war because Lebanon, with Hezbollah, again funded by the Iranians that Joe is allowed to get rich by not enforcing sanctions on them selling oil and then giving sanction waivers so Iraq can give them $10 billion for energy, and Joe himself offering $6 billion in a ransom payment. It's beyond any comprehension I have. They're the number one state sponsor of terrorism.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, there's so much happening in our country, from border issues to local crime. It seems to be everywhere. Our friends at Burner offer a less lethal option so you can protect yourself and be ready for any threat you may have to face. That's Burner, B-Y-R-N-A. Now, Burner fires powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic ammo. No background checks required, and they can ship it right to your door. Bob Brayton was at home when an intruder physically forced his way inside. But luckily, Bob had just received his Burner 4 days prior to the incident, and he used it to backpedal the man outside off his property. Now, the Burner saved two lives that day. Government agencies, police departments across the country, they are now relying more than ever on Burner as their go-to less lethal option. You can join 500,000 other people that rely on Burner for protection. Go to their website, check out their videos, byrna.com/Hannity. You'll get a 10% discount. That's byrna.com/Hannity. Hannity.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When you're team for the day, you can get things done. And when it comes to dealing with the impacts of carbon emissions, I would do these three things. First and foremost, I would abandon the command and control, top-down focus of reducing carbon emissions in favor of a carbon tax. Make it more expensive to emit carbon and let the economy figure out how to use less. And reduce some other tax to offset the revenue gain. Bureaucracy and rules will never get the job done. Secondly, I would recognize that the goals of huge reductions in carbon in tiny spans of time are totally unworkable. People aren't being bold when they announce these lofty ambitions. They're just being stupid. We can address carbon, but we'll need to deal with temperature rise and plan for things like high ocean levels and seasonal changes. In that spirit, we should also explore climate mitigation as well. To those who say the unforeseen impacts make it too risky to experiment with things like suspending particles in the atmosphere to mitigate warming, I say, compared to what? There are risks in doing nothing as well. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Five, they're online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so let's see. You know what? I won't spend too much time talking about this story because we're going to have Senate President Jason Ellsworth join us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But on Friday, if you hadn't heard, Senate President Jason Ellsworth announcing that he is inviting members of the public to serve on the Senate Select Committee on Judicial Oversight and Reform. So it looks like they are taking some applications vis-a-vis the Secretary of the Senate, of the State Senate here in Montana. So if that's something you're interested in, or you know somebody else who would be perfect person to serve on that Select Committee on Judicial Oversight and Reform, definitely direct them towards the Secretary of the Senate's contact info on the legislature's website. But yeah, basically, we've talked at length about the need to rein in this lawless judicial branch that we've seen here in Montana, where they're abusing their positions of power to push their own political agenda and breaking their own rules, even in the process. I mean, we talked with former UM constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson last week at length about this very topic. So, yeah, that'll be coming up later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Before we run out of time this hour of the show, I mentioned how basically, you know, this point by Caroline Leavitt earlier, Biden is focused on prosecuting Trump while the world is at war. Joe Concha was on Fox and Friends First earlier this morning, and they had this montage of the fake news liberal media before getting his reaction.
We all know what you feel and what you don't feel about this guy. How do you get a jury to ignore all of that and just look at the facts?
Yeah, jury selection is kind of going to be the whole ball game, because all Trump needs is one. All Trump needs is one cultist, one dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter to sneak into that jury, and he can hang the whole thing. He or she can hang the whole thing.
If it were Donald Johnson we were talking about, not Donald Trump, he would not be on his social media site posting. He would be in contempt in a jail cell.
Trump is going to use this courtroom and other courtrooms to come as really the centerpiece of his campaign. Joe Concha is a Fox News contributor, and he joins us now. Joe, good morning to you. Media is going to have a field day with this, of course. But there's also that inconvenient fact that this is a very weak case that Alvin Bragg brought forward, according to all the legal experts. And the statute of limitations even expired for some of what Trump is being accused of. So how will the media balance the facts versus the feelings here?
Oh, Carly, did you say balance? There will be no balance. All right. This is all they have at this point as far as juicing ratings for their failing networks at this point. I mean, the CNN headline is so typical of the coverage. Quote, Trump's first criminal trial is a historic and solemn moment for America. No, it really isn't. If you listen to any sane and sober legal analyst that actually looks at this case, to your point, statute of limitations expired on this long ago. Jonathan Turley, who is as respected as any legal expert as there is in this business, said that this is an unprecedented attempt to revive a misdemeanor for falsifying business documents that expired years ago. If that is still the basis of Thursday's indictment, Bragg could not have raised a weaker basis to prosecute a former president. So in the end, it seems that they're bootstrapping this misdemeanor into a felony, right, to try to prosecute Trump in this case in New York, where obviously he's not the most popular person in the world. He got something like, I think, 12% of the vote in 2020, for example. But still, in the end, this is all going to be played up as if Trump committed some sort of crime that he actually has to go to jail for. But in the end, it seems that Turley, others like Andy McCarthy, are saying that this is something that most likely is not going to get very far as taking out Trump. But Trump will use this as part of his campaign that, see, the justice system has been weaponized against me. This is election interference, and this is all nonsense to take me off the campaign trail.
All right, and Trump is exactly right. We'll hold it there. Stand by.